Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Thanks so much.
Once upon a time, there was a little prince who lived on a planet that was scarcely bigger than himself and who had need of a friend. And I lived my life alone, without anyone I could really talk to. So I learned to pilot airplanes.
I flew more or less all over the world until I had an accident in the Sahara Desert.
And welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Bonjour, mes amis.
I have no French.
I have very... un petit peu. I just have a little bit.
I'm very excited about today's book and movie, especially because we're not doing the movie that I originally thought we were doing, but we'll get to that in a minute. If you are new, this is, as I said before, this is a podcast where we talk about movies that have been adapted from books. But because we've been doing a new episode every single week, we're choosing shorter literary sources. In this case, a children's book, or it might be a magazine article, or even a song. If you would like to interact with Margot and myself, yes, we're both named Margot, on the internet and other listeners of this podcast, there's a few places you can do that.
Yes, we do have a basic Facebook page. All the episodes are posted there, but we're more interactive in our Facebook group. So if you do use Facebook, type in Book vs Movie Podcast Group and ask to join, and you come on in. We literally just talk about books and movies there, story ideas, episode ideas, what you'd like to see more of, that kind of thing. We're on Twitter at Book vs Movie and Instagram Book vs Movie. You spell them all out there. We have a basic old-timey kind of email. It's Book vs Movie Podcast at gmail.com. We do have magnets right now. I've got some sent out to you, Margo. This will get to you any day now.
Well, I can't wait.
I know. They're so cool. If you're interested, if you'd like some magnets, or I've got some coasters, I can drop them in the mail for you, or whatever. You just want to chit-chat, just send us an email. What a creep. Sorry. Book versus Movie Podcast at gmail.com. Getting it all together.
I have to tell people what's going on right now. So I'm in San Diego, California. Those of you who aren't in the U.S., you may or may not have heard that California is now open for business. We are completely 100% open. And let me tell you, the first thing I've noticed is the onslaught. I feel completely attacked by noise. On all fronts. Like I had to go run a quick errand, and I just could not believe the amount of noise of people and machines. And right now I am surrounded by, from what I can tell, it sounds like three separate construction sites plus helicopters for some reason and sirens. So my apologies to, as opposed to what we've been hearing lately, is just birds.
Yeah. The canyon. You're right by the canyon.
It's in my canyon. So my apologies for the sawing and whatever else we may be hearing during this episode. But I keep thinking, like, was it noisy like this before? And we just didn't notice how very, very noisy it was. I don't think I want to go back to it.
Yeah. There's something I read today. Like, there's some people who have like real anxiety about the world coming back. I mean, it feels like places are too crowded to me. The restaurants aren't open by me. They're like at 20% capacity. Most people eat outside. I don't know what like it is where you are, but yeah, slowly but surely things are coming back. And my building is filled with people again. It was empty for the year. So yeah, little noises I'm hearing all the time too. So hopefully you don't hear them all when we're doing the show, including the air conditioner, because it's super hot where I am.
It is here too. Yeah, we're also having a heat wave. So there's air conditioners running all over the place. Yeah. So anyway, apologies if there's like way more background noise than you're used to with us. We're just going to go with it. Oh my gosh, the sawing. Can you hear that?
It's not that bad.
It's so annoying. So today's book, I'm sure, is available as an audiobook, but I did not check it out. I don't know why you would get it as an audiobook, because you would miss the amazing illustrations.
Yes, it is available on Audible. You go to, if you want to check out their service, you can go to audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie and you can get a free month to check them out for yourselves. I did listen to Audible. I actually enjoy the words very much. And there's been a few records I'm saying, they happened in the 70s. There was sort of this, the book was always popular, but it had this renaissance in the 70s. There were a lot of different adaptations out there. And there are people who transcribed it and in the French and then in 300 languages. It's just been interpreted and reinterpreted. But Richard Burton recorded an audio book. It was a record, like a regular album. And it was just, they actually cut it and they just put in new music in there. It's very odd, but he won the Grammy that year for that. So anyway, on Audible, there's lots of different versions. Also, just on YouTube, Kenneth Branagh has a version you can get. I mean, so there's different places you can definitely listen to it, because the words are beautiful. It's a beautiful
They
story.
Are. And now that you mentioned it, I did hear a little bit of the Kenneth Branagh version, and it is very good. Mm-hmm. You're right. It is super good. But I do love those illustrations.
Yes.
And yeah, when you and I were kids, this book was everywhere. I don't know if it's because of the movie. And I know that the movie, which I mistakenly at first thought we were going to be discussing the 1974. I just want to talk about that before we talk about the book. Even.
Yes. Yes.
I just want to get out of the way.
It's nutty.
I mistakenly thought that we were going to be watching that movie. I'm so glad that that was not the case. But interestingly, Richard Burton was considered for the role of the pilot in that movie.
Oh, who plays in the movie?
Oh, I cannot remember his name. He is a theater guy.
Gotcha.
And this movie was on TV a lot in our youth. It's by Lerner. The music and lyrics are by Lerner and Lowe, who did Camelot. And what's that other one that they're so famous for? Anyway. Famous. big theater people. And so this was like a really, it's a beloved book. It was very much a big deal, this production. A lot of big names. Frank Sinatra wanted to be the pilot. A lot of people were kind of fighting to be the pilot, but the composer and lyricist wanted Robert Goulet, which, if you remember from our childhood, Robert Goulet was a theater guy who was on television a lot. Oh, Man of La Mancha, of course. That's the other. It's not good.
No, it has Gene Wilder in it, and there's a segment with Bob Fosse.
So do yourself a favor.
Yes.
Watch you can find it on YouTube. Find the clip with Gene Wilder. It's very good. He's the fox. It's really cool. The Bob Fosse, that number is spectacular. It really is.
It's really good. He plays the snake and he just does his Fosse moves. And then I watched him like, oh, this is where Michael Jackson came up with everything he's ever done.
Everything.
Including Moonwalk and then Smooth Criminal. Like, that's all in that 6-minute sequence.
Oh, totally, totally. Just the way that Beyonce Single Ladies is from the Fosse Verdon Mexican breakfast routine. Anyway, so just watch that. Watch that. It's great. It's not the cast. I was watching it. I was like, why is this movie so terrible? It's not the cast. The cast is good. That little boy is super good.
Mm-hmm. He's adorable.
It's the music. Mm. Like, the music is so, it's dated. I hate to say it's not appropriate to the themes of the book. It really takes you out of the, every time the music starts, you're like, oh, here we go again. What's this one going to do? So, no, it's not good. And I feel bad because the cast does a great job and the locations are great and all that, but yeah. So I was, so when you said, no, we were watching the 2015 one, I was very relieved because that's all I have to say about that one. But do watch the, if nothing else, check out the Fosse one, the Fosse scene on YouTube. It is so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, I guess we should start talking about the author.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, so what a story.
Okay. So we, sometimes we just have to say this again. We're not experts. People spend their entire academic careers studying Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. My little bit of
De Saint-Exupéry?
Exupéry.
Yeah. Somebody said, somebody in one of the things I watched said it's sort of like Subaru, like De Subaru, De Exupéry.
Saint X is what a lot of people say too.
Saint X. That's like his nickname.
It's sort of his nickname. Antoine was born in Lyon, France in 1900. He became fascinated with airplanes and flying at a very, very young age. He grew up in France. He went on to, he was also a writer and he had this habit. Antoine was a very interesting guy. He definitely a multitasker. He would read while he was flying. He would sketch while he was flying these plane, these like old, like if you think about it now, he did that all the time. He was an artist. He was a writer. He was an illustrator and he was very proud to be French. He was in a terrible plane crash. In the 30s, there was a couple of them that he was in, but one of them is him and a friend and they were in the Sahara and they were left for days and they had like some coffee and chocolate. That was it. They're French. And they did.
Yeah, I was reading they only had enough liquids for one day.
Yes.
And they had a little bit of coffee and it says a half a pint of white wine.
Yes.
Which is one cup of white wine between them.
And some chocolate.
Yeah, as you say, they're French.
They're French. So, I mean, what do you naturally get? Of course, in a baguette, let's say, and some cheese, like whatever. But so he crashes. He marries a very exotic woman, Consuela, and they have this very vibrant relationship, very up and down. In the middle of he won the Legion of Honor in 1930, and then in 1939, he had written books before France fell to the Germans. He lost a younger brother, by the way, when he was like 15 to rheumatic fever or something like that. It was terrible. But he and Consuela come to America. He's at a plane crash and they come to America to escape the Germans. And they actually were friendly with the Lindberghs, which I talked about on What a Creep recently. And Lindbergh, who had no love for the French or English, worshiped the Germans.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe a little for the Nazis.
Love the Nazis. Okay with Nazis. Everybody else wasn't white enough for him. But they were friends because they're both aviators. You know, that's something they had in common. And they're both writers. I mean, and then Anne Lindbergh was a writer as well. And the thinking is that his middle son, Land, was one of the models for the Little Prince. He was blonde with curly hair and big blue eyes. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And Antoine de Saint-Exupéry's brother who died was also blonde.
Yes.
He's also a little blonde boy.
Yes. And they.
Oh, but that's so interesting. I didn't know that about Lindbergh's. I didn't know that about Lindbergh at all. And I didn't know that about his son.
Yes. Yes. That was his middle son. So they were friendly-ish. Antoine had served in the Free French Forces. And he served when he was younger. And then he had these crashes. And then he was in his 40s. But he was desperate to go back to France and fight again. He was not happy with them being conquered. He thought things should be done differently. He kept applying and applying. And then finally, right around the book is published that we're talking about today was in 1943. Just after that, he was sent to Africa. And he's 43, 44 years old. Lots of baggage, you know.
Yeah, he was really too old to be serving, much less serving as a pilot. You know, one, he was, I think, nobility, and, you know, he had some pull.
Yes.
He was very famous. Mm-hmm. And so he I think he pulled a few strings, and he was doing reconnaissance for something that was called Operation Dragoon. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be done concurrently with the storming of the beach in Normandy, but I think it was done at a different time. Anyway, so it was happened in the south of France in Provence. But yeah, in 1944.
And he went, so he was sent to Africa, where part of the operation was. And he went on a reconnaissance mission to scope out a section. And then one day his plane just disappeared. Nobody heard from him again. Like we said, he was very famous in France and he was considered a hero when France was eventually liberated. He was a hero. I mean, and he's all over France. I mean, he's one of their golden children. He passes away. And then it's only like, it goes like 30 years later, 40 years later, they found his silver bracelet with his identity.
It was in the 90s. It was assumed, I remember when reading this as a kid, being told, I don't know, by the teacher, I don't know who said it, that it was assumed that he had been shot down. Mm-hmm. By Germans. And in fact, there were Germans there at the time, like at that moment, who said that they saw him and they did shoot at him. So mm-hmm. It was just assumed that he had been shot down. Nobody had ever located the wreck or knew what really happened to him. And yeah, as you said, it was in the 90s. It was like 98, I think.
I was living in New York. I know that. And so they find his, if I didn't say this word, we're not experts. So we do research for a week or so and then we go on to the next topic. Anyway, they did find his remains. And then from what I read, they did find the plane. They did, but it wasn't shot down. That they didn't find evidence of that. Right.
That's absolutely correct. So what they found was they first of all, this guy found the bracelet. It was a fisherman. Fished the bracelet out of the water. And people were like, oh, come on. Like, totally thought he was trying to pull some kind of a hoax.
Right.
And then not long after that, some divers were like, well, maybe let's check this out. And they found that it was absolutely the right plane. They had the serial number on it. They knew it was his plane. And when they pulled it up and examined it, there was absolutely no evidence whatsoever that it had been shot down, which then, you know, is a whole other can of worms. Was it?
Did he have suicide? A heart attack?
Did he have a heart attack? Who knows?
Nobody knows. That's part of his mystery, you know?
Once that happened, so the guy finds the bracelet and then like a couple years later, the divers find the wreck. And then once they put those two things together, then it's like, oh yeah, the local fishing village had a body wash up like the week that he disappeared.
Do you think we should have talked about that back then?
Oh, was that important? He was wearing a French uniform.
It's like Columbo. Oh, one more thing. Wasn't there a body washed up? That's the story. That's this very fascinating man. Consuelo was in charge of his estate until she passed away. And it's one of his nephews runs it now. And they run it like a tight ship. They are very, very protective of his legacy, as they should be. This is a brilliant piece of work. So let's get into it. This is the story. It's The Little Prince. Once we should also say spoilers, we will spoil because there's a couple of mysteries here. When I was young, I thought it was a mystery. And then I just read it as an adult and I got very teary eyed because like, oh, it's
okay,
not a mystery.
Can I just say this book, I have been haunted by this book all week.
Yeah.
All week. I read it early in the week and I was crying. I was crying like very early on even. And because I was remembering like what happens and just like you were saying, like I was like, oh, wait, that's not that's not what happened at all. And I can't stop thinking about it. Like and also I have to say this may be not the best choice for me the week that my daughter graduated high school. Like
Lola graduated?
She did. I'm already like a wreck.
Already weepy.
This was not helping.
No. A lot of people graduating. I live right next door to a school and you see the kids and they're graduating from the eighth and their parents are taking, and it's just so, it's this life. I see them show up as kindergartners and then I watch them. It's just incredible. This is a story. It's supposed to be a children's book. We're read to it as children. This is not for children though. This is an adult story yearning for childhood and mourning at the loss of it. And that most adults don't get it. It's one of those adults just don't really see the world properly like a kid does, but it's done with spare words. I mean, people had to translate it, and this beautiful little illustrations that he did on his own, but it's So beautiful. It's about, it's an aviator. It's this aviator who's older, who talks about a story about how one day he met a the little prince who showed up in his, he crashed in the Sahara. And then he meets the little prince, and the little prince says, "Oh, I'm from another planet. It's an asteroid. And I've been just traveling since then." And he asks them questions. And the thing is that he shows them a picture, and it's a snake, and it's was eaten by an elephant, right? Or the snake eats the elephant. And so it looks like the elephant's inside. And then adults see and they think it's a hat, the way that it's shaped. Whereas kids go, "Oh, no, that's a snake eating an elephant." And that's just kind of one of his ways of figuring out, you know, the, what's the word? Like they say reasonable versus fanciful. But the little prince is this little boy. He's just blonde and adorable. And he goes through life and just meets all these people.
He has a little sword. So cute.
He makes friends. One of them is a rose. And my mother's name was Rose. So roses are like a very big iconic image for me. But he has this one rose. Then there's lots of roses, so he needs to protect this rose, and the rose is very vain and you know, a little passive aggressive.
Yeah, supposedly the rose was modeled after the author's wife, who was a hypochondriac.
Yeah,
among other things, bit of a diva, I gather.
They had a fiery relationship, let's say, you know, and he had to take care of her, and then he was taking her around America. Well, they were being chased by Nazis, by the way, at one point in their marriage. So she's got something to say about that. But there's certain people that the boy talks about. He has to leave the rose behind. And he feels bad about that. And then he meets people like there's the king, the conceited man. There's the drunkard. These are very not the best delineations.
Oh, yeah.
Of
the drunkard's not in the movie.
No.
I forgot about that. They got rid of the drunkard. Yeah, you're right. And then the businessman.
And then the businessman who all he wants is just to make money. And he doesn't notice the stars. And that's a whole big thing about the stars at night. And I live in New York City. We don't see stars very much. So when I'm someplace where it's not where I can see them, I'm always like dazzled by it. There's a lamplighter. There's a geographer. There's all these people that the little boy meets, and he becomes, and it's him visiting other planets. And then he's talking to the aviator. They become friends, and they're philosophizing and talking about what is life? What does it mean to notice the world around you? How much should you appreciate how much beauty there all is? And then when I was a kid, the way I took it is that the boy just one day has to leave. The aviator is sad to see him go, but he understands he has to just go. And so in the aviator's mind, like the boy just
like
has
he's, to going,
go
home. He's going back to his
back
planet.
To his home planet.
Yeah.
As an adult, I read this because I hadn't read it in years. I'd never seen the 2015 version. I didn't remember that. I started sobbing because, spoiler, the boy's dead. The boy dies. The prince. The one we talk about this whole time, who's just a baby.
I know. I know. He just.
It's so sad.
It's so sad. And there's the whole scene, like he arrives on Earth, which is the biggest place he's been ever. And I can't remember if he meets the fox first or the snake first.
We forgot about the fox, yes, but that's where
there's this whole segment where he makes friends with the fox. It doesn't want to tame the fox. The fox is asking him to be tamed and asking the boy to tame him. And he finally tames him and grows to love him and feels responsible for him. And he has to leave him. And he doesn't want to leave him now because now he feels responsible. And so it's a lot about that, you know, about love and loss and, you know, life moving on one way or another and, you know, things that everybody has been dealing with
right.
lately. No, it's so, I was a wreck.
Yeah.
I was an absolute wreck.
It's sad and it's beautiful. I mean, there's this whole thing where the boy just kind of falls into the sand and that's, I'm like, oh, and then he just goes up in his ship in my brain, my little kid brain. And that's how I
Yeah, I thought that too.
Yeah.
I totally felt that way too. I don't know why crossed my mind that of course he's dead now.
He falls into the sand and just lands in a jungle.
Oh my god.
And this poor aviator's now alone and that's his friend. And
just the themes. I mean, again, it's a book for adults. It is not a book for children.
No.
I don't know why. I mean, I guess, you know, when we're kids, we read it and we don't really grasp what we're talking about and what the real themes are. But, you know, just think it's about love and friendship and stuff like that. But which it is. Mm-hmm. But it's also very much about loss and death. And, you know, and he's, you know, it was published in 1943.
Right.
The Nazis have occupied France. You know, there's a, here's a guy who's had a tremendous amount of loss on many, many different, you know, levels and all the areas of his life in one way or another. And it's just this absolutely beautiful, short, indelible book that you just don't ever forget. You know, maybe you didn't understand it as a kid, but you sure remember reading it. You know, when you read it, you're like, oh yeah, I totally remember this. Like, he goes to this planet, he meets this guy, and he goes to that planet, and there's the king is there. And it's one of those books that doesn't go away. You read it and it's with you forever.
Yeah. And it becomes a classic. It becomes, it's the, and there's so many writers and people that are just influenced. Like I said, they call him Saint X. There's like a Saint X bar in Washington, D.C. Tom Wolfe writes about him when he's writing about The Right Stuff. He's just this, he's an aviation hero, but he's also just a hero about, you know, to artists and illustrators and people who dare to dream and people who dare to just try something that's really difficult and challenging, and you might not make it. And that's, you know, he was flying planes in his 40s when he had many injuries.
It's absurd.
It's absurd.
Yeah, that he would do that. Yeah. I think too, and one thing I had forgotten about the book, and that was another thing too, that just like, it was just like a dagger in the heart, was the whole scene, you know, because the aviator in the book has, I think, a week's worth of water. Mm-hmm. No wine. I don't know. Maybe he's not French. As the water runs out, he and the boy go just walking off in the desert. And the aviator thinks like, we're going to die. We're just going to keep walking until we die, basically. And then they come upon a well. Like that whole scene with the, I was, just, it.
Yeah.
I know. It's just speechless. It's just, it's. Like, as soon as they got to the well, I was like, oh man, that's right. That's what's really happening in this book. Like this, the boy is going to die and the aviator maybe is going to live. You know, it just, is there a well? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a well or not, if there was a boy or not, you know, maybe the guy's just hallucinating in the desert. It's entirely possible.
They had hallucinations. He and his co-pilot, when they crashed, they talked about that. They had a lot of hallucinations. Lindbergh had hallucinations, when he first flew from New York to Paris. It's a 33-hour flight. Like, you're just going to get nutty. Yeah. So how much is real? Well, you know what? This is a great time. Why don't we play the trailer for the movie? So this is the 2015 film directed by Mark Osborne, and it's a French-Italian production for The Little Prince 2015.
You're going to be a Worth Academy graduate because I've designed a plan. Your life plan. The hour of the day of the week of the month of the year of your life.
Now here I am, up here.
You are going to make a wonderful grown-up.
Thank you, Mom. I just wanted to give your drawing back.
You didn't like it?
No, I did.
Once upon a time, there was a little prince who lived on a planet that was scarcely bigger than himself.
I thought I'd never find anyone who wanted to hear my story.
If you please draw me a sheep.
What was a kid doing there in the desert? There was no mention of life on any other planets.
An asteroid B612.
You are the Everland.
And the little prince, he was very fond of sunsets.
Did you finish your study work?
Not exactly. I made a friend.
If you study hard and you stay completely on track with the plan, you can spend some time with your new friend next summer.
Look at that. The stars are out.
Hey,
pain me. We shall need each other. To me, you will be unique in all the world. What is essential is invisible to the eye.
When the moment does come for me to leave, I have to go alone.
I did not know this movie existed until you mentioned it earlier this week.
I think one of our Facebook fans, somebody in the Facebook group mentioned it. And so I looked it up on Just Watch the app? That's the app I have that checks our movies. And it was originally, it's a French-Italian production. It's considered a French film. It won the César Award for Best Animation. It was recorded in English first, actually. And then it was recorded in French. But then it was picked up it was released in 2015. It was at the Cannes Film Festival. And then a year later, it was on Netflix. And so it was on Netflix for a couple of years. Now it's on Amazon's Prime. So you could watch as we're speaking right now. And the director's Mark Osborne. He previously created Kung Fu Panda, his big productions. And also it was his two kids that used the voices of there's a little girl that centers the story. And I love this story that Mark Osborne he checked out. Gina Davis has a gender studies program. It's a nonprofit that checks gender and film. He was reading about it and they realized like there weren't enough young girls, women in animated movies, and especially young girls as a hero or as a centerpiece. And so he made this young girl the hero of the story. And then she's being raised by a mom. It's a single parent situation. And she's going to the school. And what is the name of the school? Because it's like the Worth School.
The Worth Academy.
And that's
like, what is your worth? But it's spelled W-E-R-T-H.
E-R-T-H. And that goes back to the original book, because in the book, he dedicates it to his friend who died. This is so sad. It's like... But his last name was Worth. That was one of his best friends. So anyway, this girl is going to this academy and her mother buys a house that she could barely afford just to be able to send her kid to this particular school. And it turns out there's this kind of kooky aviator guy, older guy, living next door. And that's the voice of Jeff Bridges. He and the girl become friends and he tells her stories about the Little Prince. And so that his son is doing the voice of the Little Prince that we hear in the movie.
The director's son.
Yes. Yeah. And his name is Riley Osborne. His sister aged out. She was like 13 or 14 by the time they recorded. So they got a young girl, Mackenzie Foy. She was really good. And so this little girl, her mother is like super schedules her. And she can only like have friends between like 1 and 1:30 on a Tuesday. Like that's the only day she could have like free time. Like this kid is built to be successful. And her mother's doing everything for that. And then the aviator's kind of telling her, like, well, are you living life? Are you having fun? Do you notice the stars in the skies? Do you notice things? And then he starts telling her the story about the Little Prince. And there's so many celebrities that are attached to this. I mean, Rachel McAdams plays the mother, Paul Rudd. We have Bud Cort, who we talked about with Harold and Maude.
Bud Cort plays the king. I know. He's so great
He's
in this.
So good.
Oh, it is a subject. Approach.
Sire, over what do you rule?
Over everything.
And the stars obey you?
They certainly do. I do not permit insubordination.
I would very much like to see a sunset. It would remind me of my rose. Could you order the sun to set?
You shall have your sunset. I shall command it. But I shall wait till conditions are favorable.
When will that that be?
That will be this evening, about 20 minutes to 8.
Marion Cotillard, she plays the Rose, and she does it in English and in French, that version. Benicio del Toro is the Snake.
I love that. He's really great too. All the performances are so fantastic. Good.
So good.
Yeah, everybody's terrific.
Ricky Gervais plays the conceited man, which I think maybe is a little art in life there. But Paul Giamatti is the academy.
He's the guy that runs the Worth Academy.
Yes.
And Albert Brooks is the businessman.
Albert Brooks, whom I adore, plays the businessman. And he works so hard and he doesn't notice all the things that are around him.
I administer them. I count them and I recount them.
But what good does that do you?
Well, it does me the good of making me rich. How's that?
And what good does it do you to be rich?
It makes it possible for me to buy more stars. Plus, anything else you would think of.
Grown-ups are certainly very, very odd.
And... I don't know what to say. It's just so beautiful. The performances are fantastic. It's just beautiful to look at. Sometimes it's 3D. Sometimes it's stop motion. It's just stunning.
It's beautiful. I think all the artistic choices are so brilliant. And it's impressive. Yeah, the stop motion, the going back and forth between different kinds of animation. So The Little Prince, the book The Little Prince, is a story within a story, if you're not getting that. The story of The Little Prince is told within the story of this little girl and her mom and this weird, soulless world that she's raising her in, and this aviator friend. And then, spoiler alert, near the end of the movie, the two stories merge. The little girl goes searching for the little prince and finds it. I mean, I think all of those choices somehow are so true to the spirit of the book. I was really amazed and impressed with the choices that were made, and not only that they were in line with the themes and the message of the book, but it's taking that message, which, as we just said, is a very adult message, presenting it in a way that kids can understand. I thought that was really impressive, the way that they managed to do that with the story and without ruining, the magic of that book. Yeah, really keeping it and preserving it. Just wonderful. Just wonderful. And I know that the estate, approved of it. I can see why. Yeah. I was surprised when I read the synopsis. I was like, the estate went along with this? Like, really? But then once I watched it, it makes perfect sense.
So the whole thing where the academy that she goes to, that they're trying to recondition her. So there's stories upon the stories that are already there. I love the little fox is animated, and then he's just a toy when her mom's around. And there's all these, I love that she had the stars all around her room. And then the aviator goes to the hospital, and then she starts thinking oh, this is all dumb. I got to grow up. I got to, I can't be all about flights of fancy, both literal and figurative. It's just a great three-act story. She just kind of comes around. She learns to fly the plane. She and the aviator go on their adventures. And in the movie, the mom is always so stiff and always so perfect and always just over-scheduling her. That the end, her mom really comes along and realizes that they need to stop and smell the roses. And at the end, the mom is in jeans and a sweater, watching the stars with her, just taking this moment with her. And it's so beautiful.
I can't believe I had never heard of this movie. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. I can't wait to watch it with my kids. I think it's going to be really a fun watch. And I'm interested to see what their impression of it is. But again, in a week full of graduations and family transitions and things of that nature, it's a lot. It's a bit much.
Yeah. To go back to the performances, it's just Ricky Gervais, that whole, just the conceited guy.
It's perfection. It's so good.
It's just perfect casting.
A funny kind of hat.
What is it? It is a hat for salutes. actually, to raise when people acclaim me. Clap your hands. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, see? Do you really admire me very much? Am I not the handsomest, the best dressed, the richest? I'm the most intelligent man on this planet.
But you're the only man on this planet.
Do me this kindness and admire me just the same. Please.
I think, like, at the end, you hear the little prince kind of laughing. Like, so you think, well, maybe he's alive. Maybe he's alive.
He's not, though.
He's not. I know. He and the aviator are together at the end. So you think they're probably.
Yeah. I think his Jeff Bridges' performance as the aviator is.
He's always great.
He's always wonderful. He really brought just such a sensitivity to this performance that, you know, you really buy this relationship that he really cares about this little girl. And it's not just that, like, he's like a you know, such an evolved person that he would care about everybody. Like, he really genuinely cares about the little girl and is concerned about her. And that's why he shares the story with her. And including, like, I love this too. I thought this was really great, including the moment where he realizes he has to tell her the end of the story.
Yeah.
Which is that the prince dies. I think that's, yeah, I was just really, really impressed. I mean, I keep using that word, but it's true. I mean, it's a very difficult set of themes to present for children in an engaging, entertaining way that's not scary, not too scary for them.
And not too sad.
That they can actually, not too sad, they can actually process it. And they just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, so why didn't this get an Oscar nomination? I mean, it just was like, it was released overseas. It was in Cannes. It did really well in certain countries. I mean, it's the number one French animated film of all time. So it did fine, but it turns out, so that was 2015 it comes out, and then 2016 it's on Netflix. In between, so the Academy Awards were in spring of 2016. The movie that won was Inside Out. I mean, you weren't going to not, that movie
was
not.
Oh, that was a juggernaut.
That one
was, that's true.
Yeah. And that just happens sometimes. That's just the way it goes. But if you've never seen it before, and especially if you think it's just a kid's film, it's not. It's got a lot of adult stuff there, and it'll make you cry. It'll give you the feels.
Yeah, I love that whole segment where she goes and finds him and he's grown up and the businessman is running the world. It's just great.
Yeah.
It's just great. Whether you have kids or not, watch it. You will not be sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a tough one. Booker movie. It's a classic book.
I know.
You know, as much as I love this movie.
I love this movie too, but I also must give it to the book. I have one little nitpicky thing about the movie, unless I missed it. I might have missed it because I was too busy crying. My favorite moment in the book is when it's in the beginning. The little prince shows up and asks the aviator to draw him a sheep, and the aviator says, I can't draw. I only know how to draw this one thing. It's
right.
And he draws without saying what it is, he draws the boa constrictor with the elephant inside it that looks like a hat, that everybody in his life has told him is a hat. And the little prince is like, I don't want a boa constrictor with an elephant inside of it. And that moment wasn't in the movie.
I don't think it was. I mean, I could be wrong too.
It's like my favorite moment of the story. It just is like, that's the moment that they sort of connect. To me, that's the moment that they, you know, that they're going to be friends. But that's my one, not even a real criticism of this movie. It's spectacular. I loved every moment.
So I'm looking at my
book.
But the book, yeah.
Having said that, book.
It said Paramount Pictures had budget cuts. They were supposed to release it in the U.S. and then it didn't get the big release because of budget cuts. So, you know, that happens too sometimes. Oh, it's a foreign film. You know, Americans not going to go see that. It's just, so that's when it went to Netflix. And nowadays, Netflix is considered a place, yes, you would, you know, run a movie there.
Yeah,
first.
But not yet then. Not yet. No.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So anyway, whoever suggested this, thank you. It was really, really wonderful to go back to this. Sad, but wonderful.
And let me tell you, after watching the 1974 one,
we posted it on like Facebook.
A peak
group.
Experience. It's so bad.
It's terrible.
It's so bad. I feel bad for the actors in that movie because it's just it's literally just the music.
Yeah.
It's nothing else that makes it so terrible. It's that the music is such a clunker, mm-hmm. as it were. So, did we talk yet about what we're doing next? Or were we not on the air yet? I can't remember.
We talked about it off the air, but let me just remind everyone, we forgot to mention this. We normally do this at the top of the show, but we do have a Patreon page. If you want to help support the show, one way you can do that, we have a couple of very affordable options. We just put up there Love, Simon, one of our older episodes. We put up Field of Dreams, I Am Legend. We've been doing the show for like, let's say 7 years. So today, I never know what it is, but we're putting our older episodes behind on the Patreon wall because iTunes and other places only go back about 2 years for episodes. So that's one way you could support us. You can also go to iTunes and leave us a review. I want to thank Gina Duffy, 831, it's B-Rob and SM Heasley for leaving us 5-star reviews. We totally appreciate that. Margo, I was telling you, I think the next one, maybe a shorter one. We'll find out when we start doing it, but it's going to be Argo. And that's the Ben Affleck movie. Ben Affleck's in the news lately. Maybe that's it. He and J-Lo. It's 2004 again. I feel young.
What?
I know.
It's all right. This came up in my feed today. It was today. Today, it was something in my news feed and it came up and I was like, it said something about their public displays of affection this week, I guess.
They went to the private Nobu in Malibu, Margo. Exactly.
I've been there. That is not the place you go to be discreet.
Yes.
Anyway, so I was looking at the news, we want to call it, item, just puzzled for a minute. And I was like, yeah, you know, I still don't care. I still don't care about these two. I think she's great. And, you know, and I like him, you know, in doses. But this story, no, I don't care.
Well, we're going to be talking about him.
Don't care now.
He's a great director, I think.
I agree. Yes.
Very strong director. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to talk about. So that's going to be next week. Reach out to us on all the social media things. If you have any ideas for books and movies we should cover. We also have done songs. We've done short stories. We're doing Argo is based on a magazine article. If you type in Google Machine, Argo Wired magazine article, you'll find it. It's 2007. Quick read. And then the movie's really exciting. Some of it's true. It's based on a true story. We've had those before, and those are really fun to do. It's 80s. That'll be kind of fun to get into, and it's got a great cast. Please follow us on all the things. Once again, our email is Book versus movie podcast, spell that all out, at gmail.com. And Margo, where can they find you on the internets?
You can find me online at coloniabook.com, and all of my social media callouts are at She's Not Your Mama. And where can they find you?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fitchick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram. And my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. Thank you so much, everybody. And we will be back soon with a new episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Book versus Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more podcasts you will love at frolic.media/podcasts. We follow the hashtags LadyPodSquad and PodernFamily. If you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, go to PATREON, and look for Book versus Movie Podcast. We have a basic Facebook page, but we also have a private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and type in Book vs Movie Podcast Group if you want to join that. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Book versus Movie. Spell all those words out. If you'd like to send us an email, it's bookversusmoviepodcast, spell that all out, at gmail.com. We do have a promotion with Audible. If you want to check out their service for free for 30 days, go to audibletrial.com/bookversusmovie. You can follow Margo D. at Brooklyn Fitchick on social media, and Margo P. at She's Nacho Mama. Thanks so much again for checking out our show, and we'll be back soon
with a new episode.